Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Tuesday, and I'm glad we're going to share some time together here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Glad you're taking some time out of your day to let the Word of God speak to your life. Derek Prince has been teaching us a wonderful series called The Way Up is Down. It's all about the invisible principles of the kingdom, about how pride is actually the opposite of the kingdom of God and certainly the opposite of the character of Jesus, but that humility is what pleases God. Humility is what allows God to exalt us in due season. Humility is the attitude that God will not oppose, but will promote. It's a powerful and wonderful thing. And Derek has been teaching us in so many marvelous ways, but today he's going to bring us to the truth that there is a right way to come to God. You see, humility is not just something that we display before men. It's not just an attitude that we take before men and perhaps even in the mirror, but it's also the attitude that we must have to come to God. God honors and welcomes the humble. God opens his doors to those who see themselves as small in their own eyes. Now listen, this series is so important and so rich that hearing it one time is just not going to be enough. And so I want to strongly urge you to log on to DerekPrince.org and listen to this over and again. You know, I say it a lot, and I know some of you probably get tired of hearing it, but psychologists tell us that you don't even hear every word of a one-hour teaching until you've heard it seven times. Well, if we don't even hear every word, how can we let it be planted in our hearts? And so listen to these teachings over and again. Also, when you log onto the website, you'll find out about some marvelous ways that you can partner with Derek Prince Ministries. This ministry is dedicated to changing the world and extending the gospel of Jesus into the nations of the earth. And if you want to be part of that, log on to the website and find out how you can. Well, let's get to it. Derek is going to be teaching us about the right way to come to God. Grab your Bible, grab something to take notes with, and let's let the Word minister to our lives.
Humility ultimately must come through a decision of our will. And that decision has to be worked out in action, not in words, not in emotions. Jesus said, and it's one of the passages where he quotes this principle, he said, if you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit at the top table, sit at the lowest table. Then there's only one way you can go, and that's up. I love the words of John Bunyan. I've quoted them many times. He that is down need fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. You can't go lower than the floor. If you're there already, there's only one way you can go. That's up. And when it says humble yourself before the Lord, this is a matter of our personal relationship with the Lord, but I find that one of the best things I ever do is get on the floor before the Lord and lie there on my face and say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to know that I know where this is where I belong. And wait there until you feel a release in your spirit from the Lord. Now, I want to speak in a practical way about two ways that this principle has to be applied in our lives, the principle of humbling ourselves. The first is when we come to God initially. The second is as we progress in the spiritual life. I want to begin by speaking about how we come to God. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What do you think their motivation was? Could I qualify? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What did he mean? Well, the next verse is his explanation. And there's another therefore. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is there about a child that's humble? Children are not always very sweet in their behavior. They can be quite ornery, quite quarrelsome, but they're teachable. They don't have a lot of hang-ups and preconceptions and prejudices. They're open. They're not ready-made. And I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, if you come to God and you want to come into the kingdom of heaven, you've got to come like a little child. There is no other way. Look in 1 Corinthians 1. Paul describes the kind of people that belong to the Corinthian church. Let me emphasize, the Corinthian church was charismatic. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Is there anything wrong with being wise or influential or of noble birth? Nothing whatever. What's the problem? Those things normally produce pride. It's not the wisdom, but it's the pride that comes from the wisdom. It's not the noble birth, but it's the pride that comes from noble birth. That's why the proportion of such people amongst the total company of God's people is very small. Not that God has got anything against wisdom or influence or noble birth, but those things tend to create in the people that have them the barrier of pride. So Paul goes on, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Why? Very simply stated in the next verse, so that no one may boast before him. All pride must be excluded. And God made his choice on that basis. You see, the principle is universal.
It's a humbling moment when we realize those words from Corinthians, that God has indeed chosen us because we were the foolish things of the world. You know, in humbling ourselves, the scales fall from our eyes. The fog of pride removes from our eyes, and we see really how pitiful we are. And yet, the moment we see that, that's the moment we become useful in the hands of God. That's when we become the trophies and the display of His glory that we're called to be. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, what's in it for me? This DVD's message explores the power behind the question, how may I serve God? It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being here, and thank you for opening your life to the Word of God. You know, people are bustling around all over this country, all over this world today, but you're taking some time to let the Word of God settle into your soul. I appreciate that. Derek is just about to take us to a very difficult passage that has to do with the rich man and whether he can enter into the kingdom of God. But there's a principle that is such a key to this difficult scripture, and if we'll grasp it, we'll be changed. Let's listen.
All pride must be excluded. And God made his choice on that basis. You see, the principle is universal. Let me turn again to the Gospel of Luke. There's a lot in Luke about this principle, perhaps more than in any of the other Gospels. In Luke 18, the story of the rich ruler that came to Jesus. In Luke 18, beginning at verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." All these I've kept since I was a boy, he said. And I believe he was speaking the truth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. It always impresses me that that's not the way people usually respond to being wealthy. But in the presence of Jesus, his values suddenly changed. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of speculation about what Jesus means about a camel going through the eye of a needle, but I believe that there is a simple, plain, correct answer. When I lived in Israel in 1946 and around that time, I had friends, a married couple. He was an Anglican priest. His wife was a Jewish believer and the daughter of a Jewish believer who had lived in Israel. And she told me that her father said he could remember the time when the Jaffa Gate was not opened. It was opened, strangely enough, to let the Kaiser in sometime in the early years of this century. And there was a great iron door that was closed, the Jaffa Gate to the old city, you understand? The great iron door was closed every night when the sun set. And of course that continued for years. It's only comparatively recently that people have gone out after dark in Jerusalem. And if a traveler came on a camel after dark, they would not open that great iron door. But in that iron door was a much smaller little door, just about maybe 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. And they would reluctantly open that door. And the man would dismount from his camel and enter, strip the camel of all its baggage and everything that it had on it, get the camel down on its knees, and on its knees, without anything on it, it could just barely squeeze through that door. Now that door was called the needle's eye. So when Jesus spoke about a camel going through the eye of a needle, he wasn't using some extravagant and unreasonable expression. He was speaking about something very vivid. And Jesus said, a rich man who comes to God has got to come like that camel. He's got to be stripped of everything. He's got to get down on his knees, and he can just squeeze in because there's no room for pride in that doorway.
Don't you love the truth that illustrates the Word of God, that the eye of the needle was a small door in the greater doors to the city? And that a man, and certainly the camel that the man was riding back in Jesus' day, had to kneel down, humble himself, get through that smaller door. That's the key to life. It's the smaller way, the humbler way, the less glorious way that leads to our exaltation in the things of God. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life. As Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, what's in it for me? This DVD's message explores the power behind the question, how may I serve God? It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being here. We are in a tremendous and transforming teaching that is one of the beefiest that I've ever heard from Derek Prince or anyone else that has to do with humility. It has to do with operating in the law of humility that is one of the great invisible laws of the kingdom of God. We're just about to hear about a wealthy and influential man who almost missed his healing because he did not humble himself. Let's listen.
I'd like to turn to the Old Testament, to 2 Kings chapter 5, and look for a moment at the story of a man who thought he could come to God in a big way. This is about the third sermon I ever heard when I got in touch with Pentecostal people. And it was a tremendous anointed message on Naaman. And I've always remembered the picture. We just look at certain aspects of the story, beginning at the first verse of 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram, or Syria. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. How many people there are in whose lives there's a but? He had everything, but. He was a commander of the army. He was highly regarded. He was a valiant soldier, but he had this horrible, unclean, incurable disease, leprosy. He had in his home a little Jewish girl that had been taken captive by the Syrian bands. And this Jewish girl was really a model of the grace of God. Instead of being resentful against those who had taken her captive, she was concerned about them. And she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, that's Elisha, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram said. He didn't want to lose one of his best officers. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, I love this, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. He came to God in a big way. My Bible here says that 10 talents of silver is about 750 pounds, and 6,000 shekels of gold is about 150 pounds of gold. At $400 an ounce, it's more than I can do in my head to work out how much that is. But it was a vast sum of wealth. All right, he went with the letter to the king of Israel, and the letter read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." There's really an element of humor in this story. The king of Israel was appalled. He said, "What can I do?" He tore his clothes. He said, "He's just seeking a quarrel with me, that's all." But verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." Oh, would to God that God's people could say that today. And thank God when they can. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots. We didn't mention the horses and chariots, but there was more than one chariot and more than one horse. And stopped at the door of Elisha's house. What do you think Elisha did? "Come in. You're welcome. Take a seat." Elisha didn't even go to the door. What was Elisha doing? What was he dealing with? Pride, that's right. There's a real art in dealing with pride. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "What an insult. The most important client had come in 5 years. What modern physician would do that? Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy." See, Naaman was like so many of us. He had God all pre-programmed, just how it was going to happen. I'm sure you've never done that.
No.
Never. You know, "God, I know the way it's going to be." There, nothing happens. You're not even aware whether God is on the scene at all. Arnon, Abana, and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel. How many of you have seen the Jordan River? It is not beautiful. It is very, very muddy. I was baptized in the River Jordan in 1942. And when I stood there in the water, I sunk up to my ankles in just liquid mud on the bottom. I can really understand Naaman's reaction. That muddy stream, and we've got beautiful crystal clear streams in Syria that flow down from the mountains. What a ridiculous suggestion. Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. This is an excellent translation. When it comes to the historical events, there's nothing to equal the New International Version, I think. So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it?" Of course he would. If he'd had to come up with a fee of all that gold and silver, he wouldn't have hesitated. The trouble was, it was too easy, too simple. And it still is for many, many people today. How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Thank God Naaman had the sense to listen to his servants. He was beginning to learn what? Humility. That's right. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy.
I've been thinking about these things that Derek has been teaching us in terms of the revival that we're praying for in our society. You know, time and again throughout church history, God has refused to go to the wealthy. He's refused to go to the powerful and those who are confident in their own ability. And he's gone to the poor. It reminds me of a story once that I read. George Whitefield was the great revivalist in the American colonial period who led the Great Awakening, the revival that literally led to the American Revolution. And George Whitefield preached from Georgia up into Maine and just really transformed the colonies with the message of the gospel. But on one occasion, there was a church of white people, wealthy white people, and they were all excited that George Whitefield was coming to preach. So on a Sunday morning, they all gathered in their church, and their beautiful buggies were outside, and their big beautiful hats and their beautiful suits, and the church was crammed with well-to-do white folks. And while they sat there waiting for George Whitefield to show up, now George Whitefield was an Anglican priest, so he would have worn a robe, and at that time he would have worn a wig like you've seen from that era with the kings and our founding fathers. And instead of him showing up, pretty soon the people in that church began to hear singing and rejoicing from off at a distance. And what had happened was George Whitefield had gone to the slave quarters in the South and begun to hold church with the slaves and had completely ignored the rich white church where the people were gathered to hear him. You know what? That is very much the way God is. He goes to the humble. He goes to the downtrodden. He identifies himself with the poor and the needy, and he desires to pour his spirit out there. You know, I am convinced that God certainly wants to prosper us materially, but he wants us to have a poor in spirit kind of orientation that is not haughty, that is not built up in its own strength, but rather is hungry for God and aware of its own smallness. I believe that's why God is doing such amazing things amongst the youth in our generation and about to do even more, because they don't think of themselves as great in their own eyes. They know that they have just been born for a purpose in God, that they've made their mistakes, but that God is going to do great things through them because, frankly, they have no other answers. They have no other remedy. Listen, it's a great time to be in this particular teaching, and I want you to take it to heart. I want you to sit down and take notes, take an inventory of your life, really begin to repent, and really begin to put into operation in your life this law, this principle of humility. And log on to the website at derekprince.org to listen to these marvelous teachings and to learn how you can partner with this ministry to make a difference in the world. You know, that's all the time we have for today, but I do want to mention before we go that today is September the 11th. And if there was ever a day to remember humility, particularly humility as a nation, it's today. Let's pray for those who lost loved ones on that horrible day. And let's pray for our nation that we will walk in a humility that will secure for us the protecting hand of God. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to request your copy of Derek's DVD, Being a Servant, available for just $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the key to joy, influence, and blessing. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your DVD copy of Being a Servant securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.